Good afternoon, ladies. I'm so blessed and truly thankful for you to take time to be here today. I know that you're excited about the promises and hope we'll learn a new perspective about this that God has for us today. So let's go to Him in a word of prayer. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, it's just with great joy and great honor that I stand before you, Lord, and these ladies, Father. Anoint me, Lord God, with your power, Lord God, to preach or to teach your word, Lord God, as you would see fit, Father, to meet every need according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And we just love and thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Just for starters, I'd just like to ask, does anyone have like a favorite promise or favorite or some promise of God that they just really hold in their heart? Yes.
4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen. Yes. Same one?
Isaiah, no, my Isaiah 41:3, where he says, where you will grow weary, but you'll soar on
your feet. Yeah. Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
Here's where God says, I will never leave you
forsake you. Amen. Yes. Anyone else? All right. Well, those are just awesome, and they're just wonderful examples of God's wonderful, amazing promises to us. Now, every day when I would drive to work, I would pass by a bookstore. And in the bookstore was a sign in the window. And that sign said, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And although I didn't understand it at all, the Holy Spirit must have been just really causing me to just draw my attention to that sign, because it didn't matter if I were, you know, turning on the radio or telling my kid to put her seatbelt on, I always just draw my eyes right to that sign each and every time. But at that time, my life was really in a mess. I was dealing with divorce and adultery affairs and, co-parenting and all this stuff. And it was just a really hard time for me, but I knew I had to get to church. Anyway, I walked into a church, and just as soon as I got there and saw the pastor and heard the word he shared, and just felt this wonderful feeling in that place. I just knew God led me there. And he really did, because I ended up marrying the pastor. And today, now, I stand before you to tell you about the amazing promises of God and how it all started with a sign in the bookstore window. Now, in 2 Peter 1:4, Peter says that there are exceedingly great and precious promises given to us by God. And today I'd like to share with you how amazing promises are for us as believers. First, it's important to define what a promise is. It's a pledge or a vow that someone seriously commits to do what it is they said that they will do. Although it's a fact to be believed, it does much more in that it is meant to be received and claimed for grounds for hope, expectation, or assurance, and is often specified of eventual success. Now, my husband grew up in foster care in the New York City area, although his father lived in the same neighborhood. And he would run across his father on his way, like to the ballpark or to the corner store. He'd come across his path, and he says he has very few memories of his earthly father. But one thing he always remembered was his father saying, Robert, I'm going to get you a bike. Or, Robert, I'm going to get that bike. Well, sadly, his father was an alcoholic and passed away before Robert was 13. His father never did make good on that promise. But that's nothing like our Heavenly Father, who is a great promiser. Numbers 23:19 reminds us that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Has he spoken, and will he not make it good? God promises, and God delivers. His promises extend to cover all realms of our lives, temporal, physical, spiritual, and eternal. It's been calculated that there are 30,000 promises in the Bible, and that would compute to about 85 brand new promises for us to claim each day of the year.
Amen.
Now, I have a little book called God Bible Promises for You. And I often use it if I need to, like, counsel someone, or I want to jot one in a note or a card to someone. That's basically it. But in preparing for today, I desire to just fill my mind and heart with all the promises of God's presence. So I spent days reading them from A to Z. I needed to just soak in and bask in and just marinate on all the promises of God. And that's when I discovered how rich and meaningful God's promises are. Now, everybody that has an iPhone tells me that it's really amazing. There's even a commercial, I'm probably sure you all seen it, it says, don't remember where you parked the car? There's an app for that. It claims that anything you would want to know, you can find an app for it on that phone. Well, similarly, in the Bible, there's a promise for anything your heart can hope for in God. Do you need a principle on which to hang your faith? There's a promise for that. Psalms 118:8 tells us that it is better to trust God than to have confidence in man. Biblical promises help us to comprehend the trustworthiness and believability of God's word. Now, I know a lot of people who like to say, God is good. God is good all the time. God is good. But in studying the Word of God, I learned that what we must embrace is that God's standard for good is trustworthy. In other words, if God says adultery is bad, adultery is bad. If God says gay marriage is wrong, gay marriage is wrong. That's what's meant by the good Word of God. It's trustworthy. It's believable no matter what society says. Now, do you want a guarantee to have the presence of God? Well, there's a promise for that. Hebrews 13:5 is the one we quote the most, which says, and someone stated, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is always with us, and we are never alone. I remember I had to deal with my child in the divorce at the time after the divorce and the custody issue, and certain people knew I was not parenting them the way that they thought I should, so they took me to court. And my ex-husband did too, did take me to court. And I remember thinking, boy, everybody's against me. Nobody believes that I love this child. Nobody believes that I truly would make a fit parent. And I remember thinking, but I know. Go into that courtroom with your head held high. And I did. I walked into the courtroom and I was smiling so much that my ex-husband and his girlfriend were all going like, what's wrong with her? I had such a total peace about it because God was with me. He's with us and he will not forsake us. In other words, he won't say, I'm here, but I don't really have anything to do with you. No, he won't forsake us. Okay, you want the comfort of having 24/7 protection? There's a promise for that. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. We are never to be afraid of anything, anytime, anywhere. I remember someone visited my house after a long time, and after she came to my neighborhood, she goes, wow, Angie, everybody in the neighborhood has these like security signs in the front of their house, but you don't. And instead of saying, oh, because I trust the Lord, I'm going like, oh my goodness, why don't I have one? Is the burglar going to come right straight to my house? I had to realize it's not about being obsessed with how many security signs you have. It's being in the understanding that his protection of us is a promise. It's a promise to be clung to, and that's what I do. The next question is, do you long for the security of having a plan for your life? There's a promise for that. Jeremiah 29:11 is so wonderful. It says that God's thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. There's no accidents in God's world. Every event has a purpose in his plans. I met a wonderful young lady, and some of you may know her, Deanna Gonzalez from Calvary Chapel Downey. And she's a certified parenting counselor. Well, after I met her, she told me that actually, when she was 12 years old, she was a drug user and a dealer. She grew up and lost all of her children to foster care.
Wow.
Was while she was in jail. But while she was in jail, she was busy meditating and reading God's word. So when she got out of jail, she was able to really put all of her heart and soul into learning how to be a great parent. And she's now a court-ordered certified parenting counselor. So God's plans are never wasted. And God is truly amazing. Lastly, we need to rest in knowing that God has made a preparation for us. There's a promise for that too. Revelations 21:4-6 is truly amazing. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." God has prepared for his creation, especially the glories prepared for those who love him. Have you ever had the honor, truly, and the privilege of being with a saved person on their having their last breath? It is amazing because of their peace, because of their just total joy at looking forward to what's going to happen once they close their eyes for the last time. I remember one of our uncles said, "It's beautiful, it's beautiful." And I'm thinking about that. We shouldn't stress at this idea of death like so many people do, because it's beautiful. He's prepared something wonderful for us. Now, these are just a few of God's amazing promises for us as faithful and obedient followers of Christ. But guess what? That's not even the best part. Now, in studying today, I was reminded of a powerful scripture, and it's found in 2 Corinthians 1:20. And it says, "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us." Let me explain that to you. Now, as I told you in my opening, God so blessed me in my salvation and in my marriage to the pastor. But actually, he kept on blessing me with abundant back-to-back blessings. I mean, very soon I became the mother of our first son, and he had spina bifida. And it kind of was interesting because the last speaker spoke so much about spinal cord injuries. He was born with a spinal cord injury, a defect. And yet, we watched, amazingly, God, time after time, blessing him, making him so, healing him, just really taking all of our anxiety and turning it into blessing, because we watched him just become healed right before our eyes. In fact, if you were to see him today, you would not even know he was born with that. And because of that, God blessed us to start a ministry to the disabled community. There wasn't anything in our neighborhood like that at all. And so when we needed help, just like the previous speaker said, the doctors were giving gloom and doom. Oh, he'll never walk, and he'll never, he'll never ride a bicycle, never play football. And my husband was saying, "Oh no, I believe in the gospel. I am a minister of the gospel. I do not receive that." And so, but we had no one to really come alongside of us who was also had a child with that kind of a problem to talk to us and talk us through it. So we started our own. And it was called Loving Your Disabled Child, and it was the only one of its kind in Los Angeles. And God blessed, we met another couple, and we got together, and we ministered with Johnny Erickson Tada. As you may know, she's the formal speaker, Christian speaker of this disabled community. We met with her, my husband wrote a song, it turned out to be they used it for the theme song for the United Way. Oh, the blessings were just way, way, way overtaking us. And, but because this all happened to me right out the gate, something disturbing happened as well. And that was that I had a problem, and we as a couple had a problem, and that was my failure to establish and develop a close, intimate relationship with the Lord. because I was, like many of us, you know, raising four kids, had a full-time job, minister's wife, doing all these things, doing all these ministries, and just doing it all in my own strength. And God was not pleased. And a problem for my husband, who became discouraged with me and much lost a lot of his zeal. And so I'm wondering, as many of you, my minister's wives, you must understand how important for us it is to establish a quiet time, a daily quiet time with the Lord to get his strength and not think just because we're doing all these wonderful things in God that we don't need to take that time, because that is a temptation. And I'm sorry that it happened, but actually I'm glad that I'm here to tell you that you should not allow this. I was kind of like the rich young ruler, you know, that Jesus spoke to, who said, you know, how can I inherit eternal life? I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. I've kept all the commandments. I've not committed adultery, and I've honored my father and mother. He says, but first do this one thing, which the rich young ruler was found lacking, and that was selling all you had. Like him, I was the person who went away lacking because I hadn't discovered a secret. And that secret is abiding in the vine. We must be faithfully connected to God through prayer in order for the promises to be for us. So many of us just want to rest in the promises and not realize why the promises were given. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If I abide in him, and he in me, I will bear much fruit. But apart from him, I wasn't bearing much fruit. Because we are all weak. We are all sinners. We're all shaky. We're flaky. That's just the nature of us. But the promises are yes for us. Because Jesus kept and fulfilled all the commandments. And we can say amen, because Jesus was tested and tried and found to be 100% faithful. I happen to be a children's minister, and I like to do object lessons. It's kind of neat for the kids. And I tell them that we are kind of like this toothpick, and the devil can very easily bend and even break us, because he's stronger than us. But like this bolt that cannot be bent by anyone, God is stronger than the devil. So if we, being these measly little toothpicks, can stay close to him, when we try, devil tries to bend and break us, guess what? We don't bend, we don't break. It's the secret. It's the secret I found. We are weak, but in him we are strong. We are sinners, but in him we're cleansed. We are shaky, but in him we're on solid ground. We are flaky, but in him we are unmovable. So we need to abide in the vine, and a part of abiding in the vine is prayer. Because you see, there's a vital connection between prayer and the promises in general. Promises should always be the basis of our prayers. Now, we can look to the Old Testament saints to show us how to turn promises into prayer. I want you all to turn to Numbers 14. 14:17 in Numbers is Moses. And he's saying, and now, he's talking to God, and now I pray, so he's praying, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken. He reminds God of what God said in a promise, which was that the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. He says, Moses is saying, pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And then what does the Lord say? He said, I have pardoned according to your word. And what Moses was repeating what is found in Exodus 34. So let's turn there. Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, where the Lord says, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity on the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" So you see, Moses prayed the promise in his prayer. You understand? Let's see another example. David in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 7, 28 and 29. Okay, here's David praying. "For you, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, saying, 'I will build you a house.' Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you." So he prays back to God what God promised. Amen? And he says, "Now, therefore, let it please you to bless this house of your servant, that you may continue before you forever. For you, O Lord God, have spoken it, and your blessing, let the house of your servant be blessed forever." And then there's another example. That's Solomon in 1 Kings. Let's turn there. 1 Kings 8, 25 and 26. Starting at 22, it says, "Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands towards heaven, and he said, 'Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all their hearts. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day. So therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father. So saying, you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel, only if your sons take heed on your way, that they may walk before me as you have walked before me." So there you see, Solomon also prayed that same way. He reminded God of what he had promised. And so I have I want to show you that there is a great link between how we receive God's promises. We are to receive them through prayer to him. Now there's one last verse, and let's go to Psalms 116, 12 and 14. Well, I'm going to just read all of 116 and then skip down to 12 after I finish 7. As soon as we get there. All right, the psalmist is saying, "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." So here the psalmist is telling his soul, or speaking to himself, remember how God blessed you, how he saved you, how he delivered you, so that now you can trust him for the promise that he makes to you. And let's go down to 12. Oh, well, we can read a little more. "For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living." Let's get down to 12. "But what shall I render to the Lord for all his blessings toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of his people." So you see, I can believe that each of us can say, "Lord, you've given me forgiveness, salvation, a home waiting in heaven, not to mention love, guidance, provision, and protection. Yet, you do not require any payment for your services. And you wouldn't even accept it if I tried. But yet, I will repay you." And what does the psalmist say? So I'm saying, I will repay you by calling upon you. In effect, he's repaying God for acknowledging his ongoing need for him. And this is what the Lord desires, that we depend on him and that we worship him. A heart fully depending on God, devoted to him, relying on him and praising him for everything is the only payment God will accept. And it's really the only payment that we can afford. So this is what I want you to understand. We must learn to pray the promises of him. Now, when I was a little girl, we had like a family tradition. And we would go around the mealtime table, and each of us, my sister and my parents and I, would take reciting a verse of scripture for our prayer. And mine was Matthew 5:8. And my mother assigned it to me, and it was actually a promise. It said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And day after day, that's what I said at my mealtime. Now, I believe that it is that promise that the Holy Spirit used every time I drove down the street past the bookstore. And he used it to draw my attention to the promise that God had for me. Because I always believed that God would save me and that I would one day see him. So, I am telling any of you who are mothers or grandmothers or aunties or sisters or cousins or just an adult that's concerned about a child, that you should make every effort to plant a seed of a promise in the hearts of your children. Because you're knowing that God will water those seeds, and that will happen throughout their life. And though you may be long gone, you can be sure that that fruit will remain. So, since this is a workshop and we have a half hour, I have some work to do for you to do. I'm going to pass out these promises. And on these slips of paper are about 3 or 5 promises. I would like you to read them over. And then I would like you to, if you like to, you don't have to do this, but you can take the paper. I'd like for you to speak out a prayer based on the promise. Because they're all promises, but we have to learn how to pray the promises. So I'd like for everyone to take one. And just look it over and decide how you should pray that promise, okay? And then we'll stand up and we'll do that, okay? So let me take that. Okay, everybody should have it now. Okay, I'm going to start, but I'm saying it in a prayer, so I would like you to just follow suit. Just stand up so we can see you and hear you real well, okay? Mine is Psalms 34:19. Lord, I just praise you because I know that you have said that many of the afflictions of the afflictions of the righteous will be many. But I praise you and thank you that you will deliver us from them all.
Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. And Lord, we thank you for the wisdom that we gain through you. And as it says in James 1:5, anyone who lacks wisdom, he should ask, Lord, and that you so generously give to all without finding fault. Thank you, Father God, that we have a God of truth and that we don't have to seek the wisdom of the world, Lord, but the wisdom of you, Christ, that sets us on the right path, that sets our lives straight before you, Lord. And we thank you, God, for the wisdom that is imparted through your word, through fellowship, through teachings, and just from sitting at your feet, Lord God. Continue to pour out your wisdom upon us, Lord, and keep us straight with you, for it is the beginning of fear, it is the beginning of wisdom, Lord, and we thank you, God, for that in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have promised to us that you would answer us if we would call upon you.
Amen.
Thank you, God, that you say that you will show us great and unsearchable things that we do not know. Lord, you are so good in doing this, Lord God, and we take you at your word. We know your promises are true. Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord, that you say, Lord, for us to come to you who are weary and burdened, Lord. And that you, Father God, will give us rest. And you want us to take your yoke and learn from you. For, Lord, you are gentle and humble in heart, Lord. And we thank you that you do give us rest for our souls. And that your yoke is light. Your burden is light, Lord. It's in Matthew 11:28-30. And, Lord, I pray that we all fear you, Lord, because it says with fear of you that it leads to life, Lord. And that one's rest is content and untouched by trouble. That's Proverbs 19:23. And, Lord, our soul, Lord, finds rest in you and you alone. And salvation comes from you, Lord. You are our rock, Lord, and you are our salvation. And I thank you, Lord, that we will never be shaken, Lord, because of this promise in Psalm 62:1-2, where you alone are our rock.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Abba, Father, we just want to first give you all the praise, honor, and glory, Lord. Thank you for your graciousness, your faithfulness, and your goodness. We know that what we have is all from you, Lord. We thank you for your unconditional love, Father. In John 1:16, it says, the fullness of we have, that we all receive one blessing after another. Lord, it's such an awesome gift that you've given us that I do not deserve, Lord, because you are so faithful and gracious. You love us so unconditionally, Lord, that you are always there with us. No matter what we are going through, Father, that you will carry us through it. To go through the trials and tribulations without you, I can't even imagine, Lord. Your word does say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are always there with us. Thank you for your gift.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, we thank you that you promised that you would wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that the order of the things of this world will be passed away. We trust in you. We give you glory. We give you praise and honor, O God. Our hope lies in you. From this moment on, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Father, for having a plan for our lives, Father, for giving us a future and a hope, Father. I thank you, Father, and Proverbs 21:21, he who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. And I thank you, Father, for just whispering these things to us in our heart, Father, and through us to be a witness to others, Father, not so much with our words, Father, but by an example, Father.
Father God, I thank you that you say it's another time, 3:10, for us to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in your house, O God. Father God, you also told us to test you and to see. Won't you open up the floodgates of heaven, O God, and pour out blessings that we don't have room enough to receive. Father, teach us how to be givers, O God, of your word, of our time, O God. Help us, O God, show us, O God, that it's better to give than to receive. And Father God, we know that your word never changes, O God. Open up our eyes to see, O God, the blessing and giving. And thank you and praise you for this time.
Dear God, strengthen us, O Lord, to continue the work that you've designed for us to do, to bring all men to Jesus Christ, to lift you up so that you could draw all men unto you. Because in 1 Timothy 2:3-4, you've told us God, our Savior, wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Amen.
Lord Jesus, thank you for your unfailing love. As it said, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
We thank you, Father God, that you knew us before we were born, and made us in our mother's wombs. We pray that you would praise you that your works are so wonderful, that you created each one of us unique to be so different, but that you would never, ever forget us or forget anything that we made you. You always forgive us. You predestined us to be your children. You adopted each and every one of us through Jesus Christ. So according to his pleasure and his will, Father God, we give you all the praise and the glory for having found us to be your daughters, Father God. Thank you. And we just pray in the name of Jesus.
Lord God, I just thank you, Father Lord, for being an awesome God, Lord. A God, Father Lord, full of promises to your children, Lord. Lord, I just thank you, Father Lord, for the promises in Psalms 37:7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Lord Jesus, as your daughters, Father Lord, we tend to want to fix things, Lord. Let us wait upon you, my God, because your time is perfect, my God. And Lord, let us lay everything before your feet, Lord, because you will answer us, my God, if we are still to hear your Spirit speak to us, my God. Thank you, Father Lord, for the promises that you have granted your children, Lord. In Jesus' precious name.
Thank you, Father God, that you did send Jesus to us, Lord, and that to you, each and every one of us is special in your eyes. And Lord, in Titus 3:5, you say, God, our Savior saved us, not because of the righteous things that we have done, but because of your mercy. And then he saved us through the washing, the rebirth, and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. And Father, I just pray that you would remind us daily that we would actively seek the refreshing and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, that we would ask daily that you fill us with your Spirit, Lord, and that we can go out and that we can just bask in your glory, Lord, and that we would be your witnesses to all that we have in contact with. We thank you, Father, for us to be a blessing to you.
Thank you, God, that you have mercy towards us, everyone, and forgive us of our sins. In Micah 7:18, it says, "Do not bless you. He pardons the sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance. He will forever with you, life to show mercy."
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for being our friend, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, and you have given us a promise, Lord, that one day that you have prepared a role for us, Lord, and we can go and be with you for the rest of our lives, for eternal life, Lord God, and that. So beautiful, there will never be any pain, no hunger, no problems of this earth, and all the problems of this earth will pass away, Heavenly Father. And the life that you prepare for us will be amazing.
Lord God, just thank you for your sovereignty. Thank you, Lord, that you are in control, Lord God, and that we don't need to fear, Lord. We thank you for Psalm 68 that says, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he has set my right hand. I will not be shaken, Lord." Lord, what a promise that we can stand on, Lord God. When the enemy comes in attacking, Lord, we know, Father, that all we need to do is cling to you, Lord God. Just cling unto you, Lord, and that we know, Father, that we cannot be shaken. We thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, you give your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross to the stench. There's nothing we can do, there's nothing we can say, just surrender and receive, Lord. It is by grace you have been saved, faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2.
Lord, we just thank you so much for the just wonderful divine promises that are ours to partake in, Father, because of what you did on Calvary, Lord. What you did, Lord God, in fulfilling all of the requirements, Father, that we could not fulfill. And we're thanking you so much, Lord God, that we can say that they are all of the answers to every need are in your promises, in your word. We thank you that you're helping us to cling to those promises as we remind what's in your word through your divine thoughts, Lord God. They're told to us in a promise. We receive, we claim, we just accept and hope in everything we've read, Lord God, because we know that we can trust them because you are amazing. We are not at all unwilling to fulfill them all and to deliver us from everything. We thank you so much, Lord God, for this time, Father. Help us, Father, to know what the promises mean to us, Father, in a new way, that we can pray them to you and continue to show you our complete need for you, our complete reliance on you, just like manna from heaven, that day by day we will always partake in your word so that we can continually feast upon them, knowing, Father, that we're clinging to the vine where the life is, Lord God. We praise and thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.